We started last week with this series, I God, little I, big God. Say little I,
little I
big, God.
Big God.
Come on, let's do it again. Get everybody involved.
Little I.
Come on, try it again. Little I,
little I
big God.
Big God.
Man, how many times do we think it's big I, little God? And yet, as we study the Word and understand the perspective of a relationship, that truly God wants you to live a big life, but as big as your life God wants you to live, it's always little in comparison to Him.
Yeah.
Because your Heavenly Father wants you to live so beyond your best that when people look at you, they know, those who know you, they know that you shouldn't be living at that level, but that becomes a billboard of God's ability. When you say, I know I shouldn't be walking like this, I've been working with a cane for 12 years, but God. I know I shouldn't have that kind of money because I went through 3 bankruptcies, didn't know how to handle my money, but now I'm blessed because of God. I know my marriage was all wrecked up and things that should be falling apart, but God. And so we need those opportunities where God begins to do something so amazing that even in the bigness of our lives, we understand that we're still little in comparison, and it's God who is the all in all. He's the all-sufficient one. He can do everything. And when you study the Bible, regardless, whatever background you've come from, one thing that I think most people agree in is that God's a big God. When you start talking about the characteristics of God, we can go on forever. I mean, He's always existed. He knows everything. You know, God knows what you're thinking right now. So if you're thinking, oh, Lord, please let me win that nano, He knows you're not listening to me. Of all religions that have ever hit humanity, Christianity is the only one whose holy book, the Bible, refers and describes deity, God, in terms that we do not or cannot completely understand. Of all other religions, that's how you know that the Bible was inspired by God, not by man. Because when you're starting to talk about that God always existed, He never had a beginning. So if you back up a million years, keep going, back up a billion years, keep going. Back up 500 trillion years. Keep going. You can't conceive the idea of never having a beginning, always existing. We have to take it by faith. God, nothing is impossible, the Bible says, with God. So with God, all things, I mean, His power is so amazing. It's hard to conceive that. That's why we have to accept it. Him knowing, Him having the ability to talk and communicate and know the thoughts, the detailed attention, giving each person 100% complete attention and not being distracted by anybody else and being able to do that for everybody simultaneously is mind-boggling. He knows what you're thinking. He'll talk to you. He's listening to you without being distracted. And He's doing that for you and everybody else on the planet that is willing to hear and listen. He knows everything. Knows everything. Can you imagine if you're God? What surprises God? You mean nothing. Heard a person say once that it stuck with me. You know, if you were God, the coolest thing that you could ever look at is a mirror. Think about that for a second. It's kind of deep, isn't it? You know what I mean? What is God ever going to look at and say, wow, I didn't see that coming. Wow, I never saw that before. But do you know in the Bible there's three different types or three different situations, with all that said about the awesomeness of our God, our Heavenly Father, there's three instances that talks about God searching. God looking for something. And it's interesting because in reference to like with an iPhone or iGod or iPods, I've lost stuff and I'm looking for it. When you look for something, it kind of denotes, it kind of means that there's something that's not there, that you don't know where it is, and you're searching. But since God knows everything, why would He be searching? Why would He be looking? I mean, we see in the beginning of Genesis, God says, Adam, where are you? God knows everything. He knew where Adam was. He just knew where Adam wasn't where Adam should have been. Jesus talks about, with the woman at the well, He talks about the worshipers, and the Father seeks, God's looking for worshipers. But there's another area that talks about God looking, and I want to talk about that today because last week we talked about getting to God, learning to, in our insignificance, learn how to release a praise that brings us to God. God inhabits the praises. But today I want to talk about bringing God to us. Can God find you when God's looking for you? You know, cell phones are amazing, and technology has so improved. My daughter, who's going to be 7 soon, she, in her understanding, we talk about back in the day. To her, back in the day is the 80s. So, I mean, we'll see a black and white movie. She said, Daddy, is that back in the day in the 80s? I'm like, no, that's like we're way back in the day. You know, her, back in the day, ancient is the 80s. That still breaks my heart when I see him do classic movies, and it's movies I thought were cool. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I remember those came out. They were not supposed to be in the classic category. What's up with that? But I remember, some of you can relate to this, I remember my first cell phone. I've always loved gadgets. I've always loved technology. And my first, we thought we were so cool because I got this cell phone that was a this bag, leather bag. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about this big. Had a big plastic antenna on the outside, a power cord you had to hook up in the car to charge it, right? Some of you remember those. And it was a real, like a normal or old back in the day phone, connected, you know what I mean? It had a little cord, and so we thought we were cool driving down the road. Yeah, I'm in my car driving, it was so cool. I even walked the mall with it. I think it's so cool, I got this phone with me. Oh, Jesus. Some things we do, you look back and go, why? And we just thought it was so cool because, you know, I mean, it was a lot better than trying to explain to my daughter, you know, Logan, back in the day, not everybody had cell phones. We actually had a phone in the house. It's a landline. Some of you are like, landline, what's that? Do you remember the party lines? How many people remember a party line? Yeah, and you don't even know if your neighbors are listening in to your party line. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Some of you, if I say Klondike 9453, you're like, yeah, I remember that. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have no idea what all that means. You have no idea. See, that was before you did the area codes of 314 or 636. It was all based, there wasn't that many numbers, so it was smaller. But anyway, and so it's amazing how technology has developed. And now it's like these iPhones. They call them smartphones. It could be iPhone and Android or whatever you have, so don't get offended if I don't mention your smartphone or your phone. And, I mean, you can talk on them. You can surf the web. You can buy stuff, sell stuff, look at videos, record videos, take pictures, Facebook, Twitter, the whole nine yards. It keeps going and going and going, right? And I guess the logic is now that they're so small that anybody can not only have them, but carry them with them in their pocket and their purse or whatever. So at any time, you can be reached. So it wasn't like coming home and checking an answer machine. So remember those days. Don't you know what an answer machine are? Some of you used to be a box that we stuck to that TV, I mean, to that phone that was wired to the house. That was. Now, anywhere you're at, people can get a hold of you. Can you imagine going 24 hours without your technology? I mean, it's like a detox, like not eating. You're kind of like, someone might be texting me right now. What if I miss a phone call? You know what I mean? You're just like. But with these technology now, anywhere you go, someone can get access to you anywhere in the world. And Pastor Justin in the Philippines, call me anywhere in the world. And what the funniest thing to me is when I'm calling somebody, with all that said, when I'm calling somebody, sometimes they don't answer. And what's interesting to me is not that they just don't answer, is that they were just texting me a question. So I know they just text me a question, and I'm calling back to answer instead of just texting back, and they don't answer. And I'm thinking, first of all, I know they have a phone. And I know the phone's close because they just texted me 30 seconds ago. Has that ever happened to you? Why aren't they answering the phone? And yeah, and I don't know about you, but my imagination, I could just see them standing going, ha, 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 ha. Ooh, I'm not answering the phone. Yeah, I mean, you don't know what's happening. They might have left, they might have walked away, but you don't know. But you know that 30 seconds ago, they could text you, but they can't answer the phone. And you're trying to get a hold of them, trying to give them an answer to the question, trying to make that connection. Makes you wonder how many times God's trying to make a connection with you, but we're not answering the phone. And God is calling. God is looking. God is searching. Not because he doesn't know where you're at, but he's trying to get you to the place where he can make a connection with you and bring the greatness of his power, his ability, his insight into your life. And he knows you have a phone because you just text him the prayer request. And God said, let me talk to you about this. No answer. We think, well, God's big. He knows everything. He could just make it happen. He'll just force it on me. And he doesn't do that. You know, we'll find out in a few minutes, though. We can have times where we're praying. We can have times where we're worshiping. We can have times where we're running to God. But all those things are good. But if we're not in a position for the connection, if we're not in the position to answer, he can't get his power to us. Can you imagine worshiping God and you're the hindrance to his power? See, we look at it, that God's sitting there just waiting, and we're praying, saying, God, I'm trying to get to you. And God's saying, no, I'll get to you in a minute. That's not how it is. If you have your Bibles, let me show you this. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Can God find you? That's what we're talking about today. Can God find you? 2 Chronicles chapter 16. If you don't have a Bible, you can look at the screen. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. One, the New Living Translation says, the eyes of the Lord are searching. He's searching. He's looking throughout the whole earth. He's looking. He's searching. Why would he search? He knows everything. He knows everyone. Why is he searching? He's wanting to do something. Notice, what is he wanting to do? To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. So think about this. When you're in need, you need God to do something, you begin to pray. God, I need your help. Father God, I need an answer. I need a miracle. I need whatever my need. And you're trying to get to God. And sometimes we have this visual that God is running from you. Here's a different picture. While you're praying, saying, God, I need, God is over here saying, I'm trying to get to you. I'm looking for people that I can show and demonstrate and display my goodness and my power and my presence to. And we're over here saying, God, help me. And God's over here saying, I'm trying to help you. What is the bridge that separates us? And that's what we're going to talk about. Because if we don't know this common ground, this bridge that connects us to God, we can pray, we can worship, and he can want to and have the ability to help us meet our needs or fix whatever we're dealing with. But if we don't have this correct bridge, we'll never make the connection. Well, I'll just go to church more. Praise God, you should go to church. I'll just read my Bible more, or I'll just pray a little longer. And praise God, you should read your Bible and pray. But I've seen people cry out and tears flowing, emotions high, and still not see the answer. Because there's something that's broken the connection between them and God. And they're trying to get to him. And what's sad is he's trying to get to them. But notice, it's to those whose heart is perfect. Now, that alone seems like it disqualifies all of us, because I think we can all agree that only Jesus is perfect. But let me encourage you, when you study the Bible, when you research and study the Bible, remember, if something doesn't always make sense, it's okay to keep digging deeper here. In fact, I challenge you to do two things, go deeper and go wider. The Bible was not written in the original text, it was not written in English. Jesus didn't talk English. The Bible was not written in King's English. Jesus didn't say thee or thou. So if you see these old movies and Jesus is saying, what hast thou for me? Jesus didn't talk that way. Right? In an effort to do something good, sometimes we messed up people's perspective. Jesus didn't, when he was on the earth, he did not talk King's English. So the Bible was written in the Old Testament in Hebrew, New Testament Greek. It was then translated many times in Latin and then from there to English. And in the English translation, based on who was translating it, they brought their interpretation into it. So the King James Version was the King James wanted an English translation of the Bible. And they did a King. That's how they talked in those days. They said these and thous when they translated it. But Jesus didn't say thee or thou. Are you with me? And so sometimes we look at a word and we're like, well, perfect. I guess that disqualifies me. I'm out. So why should I try? Let's move on to something else. But let's go a little deeper. By that, I mean, let's go to the original text and find out what that word actually means. When you look at the word perfect in the Hebrew original text, it is shalem. Say shalem. It's kind of like shalom. It is a derivative of shalom. It's shalem. And it means complete, safe, peaceful, perfect, whole, full, at peace. You can say perfect or complete of keeping covenant relationship. This is how you break it down. Shalem, perfect, means to be in complete peace. Complete peace in believing and trusting God. So that means you can be dealing with a storm on the outside, can be dealing with a need on the outside, can be dealing with a problem on the outside, but on the inside, you have peace because you're trusting and believing in God. And let me give you an example for that. Have you ever been so overwhelmed with a job, maybe task, and you got so many things to do? It could be you got people coming over and you got things in the house to take care of. You got a list of things and you don't feel like you're going to get it done. It could be things at work and you feel like the deadline's coming and you are so overwhelmed and you know you have 10 more things to do and you can't do them all and you're stressing. And then somebody shows up at your house or somebody shows up at your work and says, "How can I help? I see you're busy. I got some free time. What can I do for you?" And you know this person and you know they're well capable. They're very gifted, and you say to them, "Listen, I got these two things I cannot do. Can you handle it for me?" And they look at them and say, "Sure, I've done that before. No problem. I'll take care of it." And the moment they walk away from that conversation with you, "I'll take care of it," there's that sense of, "Well, I know that's taken care of." Have you ever had that? That weight is off your shoulders because you don't have to do it. Somebody else that's well capable is doing it for you, right? You're looking at me like you're just sitting around stressing out all by yourself, right? And the reason you can feel rested about or peace about them handling it is that you trust them and their ability that they're not going to blow it off, that they're going to do it well, and bring back the results. So your peace is in your confidence that they are willing to do it even when it's not even totally done yet. They're working on it. You don't call them when they walk out the door and say, "You got it done?" "No, I'm still just got out the door." "How's it going?" "I just got to the elevator. Leave me alone. I'll do it. I'll bring it back. It'll be fine." See, to trust somebody means you don't have to check every 30 seconds. You can kind of sit back and rest in the reality that they're working on it without you even seeing it. To trust somebody means they said they're going to do it. I don't have to think about it anymore. It's taken care of. Within that context, a perfect heart is one that trusts God to the point that they are at peace, even though it's not solved. "God, I got this problem." And you present it to God, you give it to Him, and you don't hang on to it. You don't try to fix it. You release it. You have confidence. You not only believe, but you have peace on the inside that He has it covered. Okay, that's going deep. Now let's go wide. By that, I mean when you research the Bible, not only go deep by going to the original text, let's go with the verses around it to find the context. Because it can be a dangerous thing to take one verse out of context and build something on it. So let's go back to that verse. Let's go back a couple verses. Verse 7, it says, "At that time, Hanani the seer," which means prophet, "came to Asa the king of Judah and said unto him, 'Because you have relied on the king of Syria.'" Now, if you got a pen and you got your Bible with you or a pencil, circle the word "relied" right there. Let me show you something. "Because you have relied on the king of Syria and not relied," there, circle that word, not relied, two words, "on the Lord thy God. Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host or huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you did rely," say rely.
"Rely."
Come on, shout rely.
"Rely."
Circle that word. "Because you did rely on the Lord, He delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, look throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. Herein you have done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Now that word "relying" in the original text means to lean on, to trust in, and support. To lean in, to lean on, and to trust. To lean on, to trust. Remember the verse, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Lean not on your own understanding, all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. To lean on, to trust. Actually, in the Knox translation of this word perfect, that uses the word complete or utter faith. And Knox is a cool translation because it says that God looks throughout the earth to give mastery. See, God wants you to master the challenges of life to those who have a heart of complete faith. What am I telling you? For God to connect with you, it's just not you praying. It's just not you worshiping. And these things, don't misunderstand me. These things are very, very important. But you can pray and still not be in faith. You can worship and still not be in faith. You can ask and still not be in faith. Because we have a tendency of praying a big prayer, of asking God to fix it. And then we walk away from our prayer expecting God not to fix it. Praying for God to do a big thing, but then going through life expecting God not to do anything. And your expectation is a key element to your faith. Hebrews 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope, expect, expectation. And if you're not expecting God to do it, then you're not in faith. If you're not in faith, then you're not believing. And if you're not believing, you're not trusting. And you can see that because you can be in a storm and be struggling on the inside with no peace. Because one of the side benefits of being in faith, believing, and trusting is, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. God, I don't know how it can be done. But your word says, and you've given it to him, and all of a sudden on the inside, you have a rest, a peace. Why? Because you trust that he is well capable of handling it. He's working on it. Even while there's still a storm, he's working on it. Even when you still haven't seen it fixed, he's working on it. Behind the scenes, you don't see him working on it, but you have peace to know he's capable. He's working on it. So my perfect heart, my trusting heart, my heart that's in faith, trust in God. Trust in God. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Gospel of John, chapter 11. So I want you to see today that you can be praying and you need to be. You can be worshiping and you need to be. You can be reading the Bible and you need to be. You can be quoting the scriptures and you need to be. And all those things are good and they bring you to the right place. But until you get to the place or to the space of believing and having faith, God can't get to you. Well, I tried that prayer once. Yeah, you tried it, but you weren't believing yet. You weren't believing yet. Let me show you the New Testament. In this context, chapter 11 of Gospel of John, let me give you a little background. What it is Jesus is out ministering and back home or back at his friend's house. We have Lazarus. Lazarus has two sisters, Mary and Martha. Lazarus is getting sick. It's amazing how Jesus knew what was going on. Disciples are hearing bits and pieces, but they didn't understand the big picture. And Jesus told them, you know, Lazarus, our friend, he's sick. And they're like, Lord, we need to get there. And Jesus, like, no, it's not right time. At one point, Jesus said, you know, he sleeps. And they're like, Lord, well, great. If he's sleeping, he's taking his rest. He can get better. And you wonder how many times Jesus shook his head at his disciples. So they're just not getting it, Father. I wonder how many times he shakes his head at me. Father, I love him, but he's just not getting it yet. I'm wondering how many times he shakes his head at us saying, I love him, but they're not getting it yet. And he said, no, you're not getting it. Let me just break this Greg Bruce translation. No, you're not getting it. Let me just tell you straight up, Lazarus is dead. But I'm glad we weren't there so you can see a demonstration of something you haven't seen before. So off they go toward where Lazarus, his hometown. And he has now been dead 4 days. Talk about, seem like you're late to the party. Jesus, where were you? And we pick up in verse 19 of Gospel of John chapter 11. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Notice, she was coming to Jesus. She was coming to church. She was doing the right thing. But Mary still sat at the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, My brother had not died. Have you ever prayed that prayer? God, where were you in this? Lord Jesus, where were you in this? Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. In verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believes, now if you've got your pen and your Bible, circle that word believe, shall believe.
Believe.
Come on, work with me, church. Shall believe.
Believe.
Come on, shall believe.
Believe.
This word has been so watered down in the church world that people think they're believing when all they're doing is mentally agreeing. And mental agreement will not allow you to receive from God. You can go your whole life mentally agreeing, oh yeah, I know Jesus can heal you, and never experience the healing that he is so desperately trying to get to you. It's not that he's hiding from you. He's looking to show himself strong to those whose heart is believing. Oh, I believe. No, you agree. You say, God wants to bless you. Oh, I'll agree with that. God wants to heal you. I'll agree with that. God wants you to live beyond your best. I'll agree with that. But agreeing is not going to make that connection. It's believing. Agreeing is done in the realm of your reason, the realm of your mind. Believing is done in the realm of your spirit and your heart. And he that believes shall believe.
Believe.
Come on, I got to work you second service, and we'll stay here. Shall believe.
Believe.
All right, now we can move on. I feel better. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26, and whosoever lives and
believes
in me shall never die. Come on.
Believe
thou this? And she said unto him, yes, Lord, I
believe
that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary her sister. Now Mary shows up. Because of time, let me just give you a quick thing. Do your own study on this. Mary then runs out to Jesus, falls at his feet. She's worshiping him. She's crying. So it shows you that you can cry and still not be believing. You can worship and still not see the power. And all those things are important. Verse 39. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, that remember the earlier conversation with Martha, and said to him, Lord, by this time he smells. He stinks. For he had been dead 4 days. Now earlier she said, catch this, earlier she said, why weren't you here? Right? Lord, if you'd been here, we wouldn't have had to deal with this problem. Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have been sick for more than 10 seconds once you got here. Where were you, Jesus? You think you can look at me strange like I say that. Well, you think it and he knows what you're thinking. So, where were you, Lord? But then she goes on to say, but I know that whatever you ask God to do, he'll give it to you, right? So she was saying that out of a mental consent. She wasn't believing yet. She was just agreeing. Well, I know whatever you ask the Father, he'll do it. So when he says, move away the stone, she began to give him a reason why it wouldn't work. Why it's a bad idea. Why this shouldn't happen this way. Remove the stone. You don't, but wait. Sorry, family. Just let me help Jesus out. He's been traveling, so maybe he's a little tired. Lord, he'd been dead, not 4 hours. He'd been dead 4 days. Don't you know the problem? Have you ever approached God like you thought he maybe didn't know the details of what you're going through, right? Lord, but you understand, that I don't want to pray for that person. That person's so mean, they'll never get right. You don't know what they've been doing, Jesus. Right? We see that throughout the whole Bible. I mean, God one time shows up in a vision, tells a man, I want you to go find this guy named Saul and pray over him because he's blind, waiting for someone to come pray. And he's like, Lord, that's the guy that's been, you know, persecuting us. Like he didn't know that anyway. How many times do we approach God? God, I don't think you got the information. Let me fill you in. Let me help you out, Jesus. Lord, he smells. We got a problem here. We don't want to deal with the smell. We just want you to fix the problem. But now we're seeing, you see where your belief begins based on your actions. James says faith without works is dead. We'll say, I believe.
I believe.
And a lot of times we'll shout and believe it. We'll say in our heart, I believe that he'll heal me. Or I believe that he's going to be my provider. And then God will show up in your heart and say, why don't you begin tithing? Well, Lord, you understand. I got these bills coming, Jesus. And you know what I mean? See, offering's over. I can talk like this. Lord, I want you to fix my relationships. Why don't you go buy them something? Well, Lord, you know, yeah, I don't think that will help because years ago I bought them something once and they didn't like it. And it's easy to say believe, but the testing of your belief is when you obey. Remove the stone. Now catch this. Let me bring back to this whole concept, the importance of believing, being the common ground here, so you don't think I'm drawing anything out of this. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time, he stinks. For he had been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said not I unto you that if you would,
believe.
If you would,
believe.
If you would,
believe.
Church, what am I telling you? You can pray, but if you're not believing, he can't get to you. But if you can believe, you will see the glory, which is the power and the presence of God in this situation. With God, all things are possible to him who believes. Not to somebody who agrees, but who believes. That word believe is pistuo, which means to think, to be true, to be persuaded of. The Bible says that Abraham was fully persuaded. To have confidence in, to give credit to trust in Jesus or God is able to aid. To have so much, so you trust him, you have confidence in, that even when I don't see it in the natural, I've given it to him and he's working on it. And I can have rest and peace on the inside because he's working on it. And when you get to that place, you're in a place of believing. So God can find you where he has the ability to work in your life to bring the change. Oh, Lord, I prayed 3 times and I'm agreeing. I didn't ask you if you agreed. Do you believe? 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 Because if you can believe, you're in the right place. It maybe hasn't happened yet, but if you're believing, if you have faith, see, faith isn't believing, having confidence and trust that you've given it to him, and now you're in a place of rest, and you're just doing what he tells you to do. Trusting him to do, when he says, remove the stone, you're like, well, that don't make any sense. Yeah, have you ever understood that God asked you to do stuff that made no sense? And we try to tell him why it doesn't make sense. But that's where faith is. Trust is doing something even when it doesn't make sense. Lord, you're telling me from your word and your Holy Spirit to do something. I'm going to obey. It don't make sense. I'm going to obey. Because what God is trying to do is not to make your life harder or to make you jump through hoops, folks.
Come on!
He's not trying to make you do a crazy dance so he can be entertained. He's trying to remove the obstacles that are hindering his power from being displayed. He could have, from a mile away, said, Lazarus, come back to life. And Lazarus could be living, but stuck behind the tomb and the stone. And they could still be crying, saying, God, where are you? And God's saying, I already did it. Where is he? Why don't you roll the stone away? Because if you've noticed, if you research this out, if you notice, Jesus doesn't say, Lazarus, wake up. Like he did to other people he raised from the dead. He didn't say, Lazarus, come back to life. He said, Lazarus, come on out. Which brings the connection that Lazarus, when Jesus showed up, was already alive. But they had not seen it, nor would they see it until they trust him to remove the obstacle that blocked them from seeing what God was already doing. Man, that's deep right there. That tells me that you might be praying, God, I need your blessing. There could be a blessing he's already given you, and it's waiting for you to trust him enough to obey, to remove the obstacle. And as you obey the instruction, as you believe enough to trust him to act when it doesn't make sense, what you're doing is beginning to see what he's already completed. He's alive. Your Lazarus is alive. Your Lazarus is alive. Your marriage is restored. Your body is being healed. You got a blessing on the other side of your obedience if you trust him enough to simply obey, because you believe what he says before you believe what you see. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a shout. We're out of time. Hey! To some people, it's seeing is believing. That's not getting in God's way. We want God to do the impossible, then believing is seeing. You believe first. You walk it out by faith first. And he shows you how to remove the obstacles. And you begin to see what he said he was doing. Whew, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Woo!